right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 36. Exodus, chapter 36. If you are visiting with us today, we are really glad to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. And we hope you'll come back and revisit. And if you don't have a home church, we'd like to invite you to consider making the Church of the Open Door your home church. It's not the church of the closed door. It's the church of the open door. This guy wrote an editorial several years ago, and I don't remember what the issue was, but he took issue with me over something. Go figure, right? Go figure. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but he called us the Church of the Closed Mind, and Church of the Closed Mind, and. But then, you know, they did this commercial that said, our minds are open. You know? How? And your brain's rolled out. That's what happens. So you need to know what you believe. You need to know why you believe it and stand upon what you believe. Amen. Quit this flip-flop stuff that goes on. All right. Are you there? All right. Let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. And I will go ahead and tell you that, verse 7 is where I'm going to preach from. All right, then look, please, let's get the story beginning in verse 1. It says, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the, what's the next word? Offering. All right, which the Lord, or which the children of Israel had wrought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal or completely. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses saying, now watch this. They spake unto Moses saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make, and too much. I have never heard a preacher. I have never heard a pastor ever get up before his congregation and say, would you folks quit giving so much? You know, I've never heard that. I don't guess I ever will I? Huh? Isn't that amazing? I mean, they brought so much stuff that the workers came to Moses and said, you know, we just got too much. And you're going to have to tell the people to quit giving so much. We got all we need. All right, now I want to kind of use that as a little launching pad this morning, And I want to speak to you on this subject. This is my kind of giving. This is my kind of giving. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless and help us, and then the message. Now, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful music we have heard this morning. Thank you for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, the one that can fix any problem, the one that can take away the heartache and the despair, and the one that can just lift us up and help us in a time of need. And Father, we just thank you so much for now the Word of God, and I pray that you'll bless the message. Help us to understand the principle of behind giving, behind tithing. And Father, may you be honored in the message. Speak to our hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I get into the message per se, I want to explain the difference to you between tithing and an offering. What we have here is an offering. All right, Moses said, we have a need, and we would like for you to meet that need. And the people did abundantly. So much so that Moses had to stand up before the people and say, you know, thanks, you've done well, you've given plenty, and we appreciate it. And so that is an offering. All right, now a tithe, the word tithe means 10%. It is a tenth, a tithe, a tenth. And the idea behind that is that the scriptures clearly teach us that the tithe is the Lord's. It's not yours, it's the Lord's. You can't say, well, I'm not going to tithe. I need it worse than God needs it. No, that's not the principle. It's not who needs it the most. It is a matter of reverence, and the tithe is the Lord's. And I'll say more about that in just a little bit. But the principle of tithing is what the Bible demands of us. Now, an offering, that is not demanded of us, all right? There's nothing in the Bible about how we are supposed to give over and above. We should, and God will bless that, as we see right here in this passage of Scripture, all right? But years ago, we had a dear, sweet family here in our church, and we used to call on the husband of that home to come up and pray before the offerings. And the reason that I like to hear him pray is because he got a hold of heaven when he prayed. I mean, it was an awesome prayer. And he would get up here and he would say, Lord, we thank you today for the way you have provided. And I ask you now to bless your tithe and our offerings. Bless your tithe and our offerings. All right, so you see the difference? The tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to God. And that's what he was saying. Lord, bless your tithe, but we also ask you to bless our offerings. And so an offering is anything above that 10% that you give to the Lord. All right, so I want to kind of jump back and forth. And when I do, I want you to be aware of the difference between a tithe and an offering. The tithe is what we give to the Lord because it's His, and then the offering is what we give over and above our tithe. All right, everybody nod your head. You with me on that? Okay, everybody got that? All right, good. Now, as a pastor, I have always envied this situation that Moses faced in this chapter. They needed materials so the men whom God had blessed with wisdom and with ability, could use their skills to put together the tabernacle that they ended up carrying with them through the wilderness and then eventually brought across the Jordan and into the land of promise. So Moses asked the people to bring the materials in, to donate, if you will, to the cause. And here is the thing that I envy about this offering. They got so much stuff, more than what they needed, and Moses had to say to the people, okay, folks, you can stop now. You've given abundantly, and we now have more than enough. Now, I don't know that I've ever had one of my pastor friends say to me, we got into a building program, and I just asked our folks to give, and so they just paid for the building and in no time, and just gave offerings, and then I had to go in and tell them, we got enough, you don't have to give anymore. I've never heard that. I mean, not even so much as for, one of these little sheds that you put out back, you know. I've never heard anything like that before. So this was amazing. And every time through the years that I have read this verse, I have just stopped and kind of chuckled a little bit and thought to myself, you know, poor old Moses, he had a lot of issues come up. When you're dealing with 3 million people and none of them are happy, then you're going to have your issues. And poor old Moses had his issues when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the wilderness towards the promised land. But here in this passage of scripture, man, he had an experience that very few of God's men have ever gotten to experience. They had more than enough that was given. But this situation that Moses experienced was all with the intent of building one of the most sacred pieces of furniture that the children of Israel ever had. And that was the portable tabernacle that they could set up and take down at a moment's notice. And inside that tabernacle was where the Ark of the Covenant was set up. And that beautiful piece of equipment that was used by them was the center. It was the heartbeat of the nation. Now, let me just give you a little story here. When I was pastoring in West Virginia, our folks, the folks in the church, all had real good jobs. They worked at a metals plant. Most of the men worked at a metals plant owned by Union Carbide. And then we had a lot of coal miners in our church. Now, one thing about coal miners is they make real good money. And so all the guys that were in our church, they were all up in rank and in the mines. And so they had foreman's jobs and supervisor's jobs. And so they made good money. And very early on in that ministry, I taught them, just as I taught you when I came here, I taught them the principle of tithing. Now, the folks were generous. They would give, but very few of them actually tithed on their income. And so I preached on it and taught them the principle behind tithing. And they tithed, started tithing faithfully and regularly. And our offerings every Sunday were phenomenal. They were absolutely phenomenal. The offerings went around enough to make the budget, about $10,000 a week, and all of a sudden the offerings began to raise, and in no time we were doing $18,000, $20,000, $25,000 above budget. Above budget. All right, now get that. And so the church had no debt. No debt. And so I was thrilled at what was going on. Now, here's the strange thing. Karen and I qualified for food stamps. All right, now I'm serious. West Virginia has, they had this philosophy. I'm sure it's changed now. I pray it has changed now. But they had this philosophy back in the 70s that they would get on their knees and pray and say, "Oh, dear Lord, give us a poor, humble preacher. You keep him humble and we'll keep him poor." All right, that was the philosophy. Now, I kid you not. We literally qualified for food stamps. So in no time, the church had just a couple hundred thousand dollars in the bank. And the Lord opened a door for us to double what we had. To literally double. That we owned a half an acre with a church building on it and a little small parsonage on it that we lived in. And so the Lord opened a door for us to buy. It was in an L shape. And the Lord opened the door for us to buy the other L. And it had a two-story, very nice house on it and a two-car garage. And it had an apartment over top of the garage, a nice apartment over top of the garage. And so so the Lord opened it up for us to be able to buy that. And it was going to cost us $60,000 to buy that. All right? A nice house, four-bedroom home, just a nice house. And the land that it sat on. And so I brought it up, and I said to all the men, I called all the men in after church on Sunday night, and I told them all, and they all came. All right, all the men were there. And the reason I did this is because Glenn Matthews told me I better do this, because he knew them. And he had pastored that church back in the mid-50s. And so Glenn said, "You better get them together and get them all on your side." Well, I got them all together. I had diagrams, showed them everything. Everything was mapped out. And I said, "It's only going to cost $60,000. Well, they, first thing they wanted, "Well, how much money we got in the bank?" Well, we got $300,000 in the bank. Oh. Okay, well, Pastor, that sounds like a good idea to me. I said, "Yeah, I think so too. I think we ought to do it. I just wanted to get all you guys in here and show you this so that Wednesday night we don't have a problem when we have a business meeting." I said, "Everybody got that?" "Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Hey, that was wise, Pastor. Thank you. I'm glad you did that. All right, so everybody's on board." "Yeah, we're all on board." Well, that was Sunday night. Wednesday night, everybody and his dog was in church. I mean, everybody was in church that had been on that roll for the last 150 years. The place was packed to the hilt. And I said, "Uh-oh." And sure enough, I was right. I presented it all. I spelled it all out, put the diagrams up, showed them everything. Can somebody make a motion? We put this on the floor. So somebody made the motion. Somebody seconded it. We put it on the floor. I said, and I wished I had not said this, "Any questions?" But that's what I said. You have to do that, you know. "Any questions?" Well, about that time, the spokesman for all the disgruntleds stood up and he said, "You know, Pastor, I've been thinking about this." And I thought, oh, my heart literally went down in my shoes. "I've been thinking about this, and I'm just not so sure this is a good idea." I said, whoa. "You were on board with this Sunday night." "Well, I know." "Well, what changed?" "Well, I've just been praying about it." I know I shouldn't have said it. I said, "No, you haven't. No, you haven't." I said, "Let me tell you exactly what happened. You went home and your wife told you that this was a bad idea." "That's exactly what happened." "Well, I mean, woo!" Lightning began to flash and smoke was rising up out of the floor. I mean, it was brutal. But everybody in there that had common sense, they all said, "Amen. It's about time somebody stood up to this bunch." And so, sure enough, man, I mean, it came down to a vote. It was 4-96. 4. That man, his wife, his brother-in-law, and her sister. And they were against it. Sunday morning, they came in looking like they had a full bottle of dill pickle juice before they walked into church. I mean, all sourpuss, you know, just mad at everything. And so I walked over and I said, "I hope that you understood that what I said to you, I did not mean it to hurt you. I meant it to make a point. And you know that my point was accurate." You see, the people that we were buying that house off of, that lady was beautiful. And all the women hated her. I'm serious, folks. They all hated her. And they did not want to buy, they did not want to benefit those people. Now, that's the truth. And so he came up to me after the service was over and he said, "Well, now I can tell you right now, we've decided we're going to withhold our tithe." I said, "What? We're going to withhold our tithe?" I said, "From who?" "From you." I said, "You don't tithe to me. What in the world are you talking about? You don't tithe to me. The tithe is the Lord's. You tithe to the Lord. You don't tithe to me." And the first Sunday, I noticed that our offerings were down probably about $800. Next week, it was about $800 more than what it would have been if they had kept tithing. And after weeks and weeks went by, you started to see a little change in the countenance. And he walked up to me one Sunday morning, pulled me aside, and said, "Pastor, you're 100% right." I said, "Yes." He said, "We're going to start tithing again." I said, "I thought you weren't tithing to me." He said, "Well, God's been taking my tithe whether I wanted to give it or not." That's what he does, folks. That's what he does. You know why? Because that tithe is not yours. The tithe is the Lord's. You know, if you've ever read anything about Russell Anderson, are you familiar with Anderson Windows and Doors? If you've ever read Russell Anderson's story, you're going to be amazed. Because that man decided that he was going to tithe on everything that was earned. But not only that, he decided that his business was going to tithe on every profit that they made. Not only did he tithe personally, but the company tithed personally. And I'll guarantee you, just about every one of you has an Anderson window or an Anderson door in your home. Can you imagine? I'm telling you, folks, that man has built more church buildings, and he has financed more Christian schools, and he has financed more Bible colleges. It is just unreal. And I don't agree with his theology, but Mike Lindell is the same way. Now, I don't agree with his theology at all, but Mike Lindell is the same way. He tithes, but not only does he tithe, but the company, MyPillow, tithes, and they do the same thing across the country. And you know what? God blesses a cheerful giver. Amen. We're going to withhold our tithe. No, no, you're not. I'm going to tell you, you're not. All right, now, let me point out just a couple things. Number one, I want you to see first the sufficiency of the offering. If you look at verse 7, the sufficiency of the offering. Verse 7 says, "For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." So they had enough, and then they had more than enough. An offering was taken up so that they could make the tabernacle. And when that offering was collected and turned over to the fellows, God had prepared to do that type of work. There was smithing involved. They had to melt gold and melt silver and then form it. They had to make the curtains and the skins and make the veils and that separated between the holy place and the holy of holies. They had to do all that stuff. I mean, and Moses finally said to the people, "You can stop giving now." Now, that caused me to think when I got to this part of preparing the message. I certainly don't want any of our folks to get the idea that since we paid off the mortgage last month, that I'm going to stand up here and say to you one Sunday morning, "Well, folks, you can stop giving now." And that's not, no. Don't stop tithing just because we were able to pay off the mortgage last month. I mean, you can't quit giving. No. It is precisely because you folks have faithfully tithed and you have faithfully given to the work of the Lord here that we are able to pay off that mortgage right in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. So thank the Lord for that. Now, I had a bunch of people that when I announced a few weeks ago that we were going to get this truck full of food, and several folks said, "Well, I'll give towards it. Well, thank the Lord for it. I mean, you know, that's giving. That's giving right there. That's not tithing. That's giving. When you give above your tithe, that is when God begins to bless you in a wonderful way. The tithe is the Lord's. So we should never stop tithing to the Lord. I had a fella say to me one time that he needed his tithe more than the Lord needed it. And I said, "Sir, you're missing the point of tithing. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord, and you and I are to give as unto the Lord." Listen, the psalmist tells us that the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns all the gold and the silver and the oil and the minerals and the natural gas. I mean, God does not need your 10%. He's rich. God does not need my 10%. He's got more than enough. But it is the biblical principle that the tithe is the Lord's. All right? The tithe is the Lord's. Now, am I going to tell you that you need to quit tithing? No, never, never. So please, folks, keep the giving coming. Keep it going. Don't quit giving just because we have paid off the mortgage. Don't quit giving. You say, well, what about the next step fund? Well, we're just taking $10,000 payment that we had, and we're putting that $10,000 into every month into, is it month? It was month, I think, into the next step fund. You say, well, why are you doing that? Well, because we've got an old building and we've got old facilities and it takes up care and upkeep, and we want to stay on top of that stuff. So the tithe is the Lord's. I'm gonna tell you what I believe with all my heart. I believe that every child of God tithes, whether you do it willingly or whether God has to take it from you. But I believe that all of us tithe. Why? Because the tithe is the Lord's. Doesn't belong to you. If you think God is going to let you enjoy that 10% because you quote unquote need it more than he does, you're wrong. You're wrong. He's not going to do that. And Karen and I have found that out by experience. We have been down that road before. That I remember one week the washer broke, had a flat tire, and a couple other things happened. And I looked at Karen and I said, "Did you write the tithe check last week?" And she went, And I said, "Write it right now, right now, write it." And I took it into work with me the next morning. Folks, listen, you got to tithe. Why? The tithe is the Lord's. That's why. That's why. And they gave out, these people gave out of the abundance of their hearts, and God blessed their giving. God blessed it. Listen, folks, if you think it's hard to eke by just on what you make each month, imagine how difficult it will be for you when you don't tithe and God takes his tithe in the form of your car breaking down or of your washing machine dying on you. Just imagine how complicated not tithing is going to make your life. You see, they gave out of the abundance of their hearts. They gave, and God blessed their giving. And you know, the Lord will bless our giving as well. As we tithe, the Lord blesses those monies, and God opens the doors of opportunity for the church. It's just like this food truck that came in the other day. Folks, we were able to be a blessing to the community. I mean, people were stopping in here. We had no idea who they were. We had never seen them before. And Pastor Ray was the first one that they came to, and he gave them a card, and they filled out that card and gave it back to him as we loaded up their car with groceries. And what an opportunity that we are going to have to be able to do this for the community. That truck cost us, you ready for this? $1,000. That's it. $1,000. And look at the blessing we were able to be to hundreds of people. Oh, thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. And that is how the Lord takes our giving and how the Lord blesses it. Now, folks, through the centuries, here's an interesting thing. The rabbis recognized the principle of tithing. They spoke often about the matter of tithing, and they spoke about its importance in many, many Bible circumstances. They argue, and I don't know how you could prove this because none of them were there, but they argue that there were 10 basic types of tree in the Garden of Eden. And out of those 10, there was one tree in the midst of the garden that they were forbidden, Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat fruit from. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they argue that technically the sin which Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden was the sin of not tithing. You see, they could eat the fruit from all the other trees, but of that one tree, they could not eat of it. That one tree was God's. Only God could have that one tree. Then they argue that when the children of Israel went to Jericho, God had said to Moses, or to Joshua, and Joshua to the people, that they were not to take anything out of Jericho. Do you remember that? Don't take a thing out of Jericho. Don't take a thing. Why? Well, because Jericho was the first city. It was the first city that they came to when they crossed over into the land. The first city that they had to conquer. And so you remember that Achan took some coins and he took some idols and he took some sweaters and he hid them in his tent. You remember that? And he hid them. Nobody saw him do it except for God. God saw him do it. So they then said, wow, that was easy. We took Jericho without even breaking a sweat. Let's go now to the next little town, the little town of Ai. And they said, well, we don't have to take everybody. It was so easy to take Jericho. Let's just go and we'll just destroy little Ai in no time. And so they went to the little town of Ai, and they were soundly defeated. Remember that? And so they came running back, and Joshua said, Lord, what's the problem? What's the problem? And the Lord said, well, now, listen, I told y'all not to take anything out of Jericho, remember? He said, yeah, I remember. Nobody took anything that I know of. Well, Achan did. God told on Achan. God told on him. And so they came to Achan and said, what have you done? And he said, well, I just couldn't help myself. Man, I saw those coins laying there. I saw those golden idols laying there. I saw those clothes laying there. And I thought, wow, those are my size. And I just couldn't stand it. So I took them. And you say, well, what was the problem? Achan didn't tithe. He took what was God's. The first city, the first born, the first is always God's. And he took what was God's. And as a result, the whole camp suffered. And the problem was Achan didn't tithe. Man was not to take anything. Why? Because the tithe is the Lord's. That's why. And when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, God was actually tithing in giving us his son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. God was tithing. The first fruits, the firstborn, he was giving it for his honor. So God honors tithing, folks. And the simple truth of the matter is you cannot outgive God. Now, secondly, real quick, think of the surplus of the offering. We can see this little phrase, they gave too much. Too much. Isn't that something? Oh, I'm sure that they were surprised as well. Too much? That indicates a people dedicated to the work of the Lord. And this is seen in the attitude of the people who gave. Look back at chapter 35 for just a moment. Just turn the page back. And look, please, at verse 20. Look at verse 20. It says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments." So notice here, folks, they were willing-hearted givers. They were willing-hearted givers. There are a lot of folks, and they're going to find out first if their name's going to be on a plaque before they give anything. You know? Am I going to get my name embossed on the back of the pew? If I'm not going to get that, then I'm not going to give. You know, they got to be recognized for what they do. And that's sad, folks. But these were willing-hearted. Sadly, this is the attitude, though, that a lot of church folks have across the country. I mean, in just about every place I've been, there were some who thought that it was their God-given call from heaven above to act as an emergency brake to be pulled in order to stop the forward progress of the church. And in that situation that I told you about in my introduction, after the church overruled four against and 96 in favor, so you do the math. But after the church overruled everybody else, I'm telling you, that's when the Lord began to bless that little church, and God began to just pour out heaven upon what we were doing in that place. Folks, listen. That we had the right heart and the right attitude in our giving. Oh my, would God bless that? Would God bless that? These folks gave their own belongings. They ended up giving so much of their own stuff that Moses had to tell them to stop. We give, folks, listen, we give because we love. It's just that simple. We give because we love. You know, when a birthday rolls around in our family, my wife goes crazy buying birthday gifts. Christmas time in our house, starting in the 1st of December, Karen gets the tree up early, and those kids come in every Sunday after church, and they run into the family room. We had to build an addition onto the house just for Christmas, and so they'll come in and they'll dig under the tree until they find how many presents they've got, and they'll count. They keep count, and our house looks like an explosion at the North Pole, I'm telling you, every year. And I'm just simply saying, here's what Karen will say. She'll say, "I'm not spending a fortune on Christmas this year." And then she'll turn right around and spend two fortunes on Christmas. It's amazing. I have no problem with it. Give, 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 give. I have no problem with it. But we give in proportion to how much we love. And we ought to give to the Lord because we love the Lord. A preacher of the past said, "Once the heart is right, the giving will be right." Many churches today have to resort to raffles in order to raise money to meet their budgets. They have to have musical concerts and bingo night and raffles and cake sales and all that, a host of other things, just so they can pay their bills. But God intends for the tithe of the people for the church to use to run and to operate. We ought to give to the Lord because we love the Lord. Now, one more thing I want to point out to you. Go back to chapter 36. Just scan verse 5 through verse 7. I want you to notice something here. I didn't see this until I was done with preparing the message, but I want you to look at this. Moses put out the plea, and the people met the plea. So much so that Moses had to tell them to stop bringing stuff. They gave gold, they gave silver, they gave fine linens, they gave hides, they gave skins, and Moses had to tell them to stop. We have enough. But now, while you're looking at those verses, I want you to notice something here. Not one name is mentioned. Do you see that? Not one name is mentioned. Nobody's name is mentioned here. Well, so-and-so gave three quarts. No, it's not there. Nope. So-and-so, he gets on the $1,000 plaque. No. Nope. They gave because they loved the Lord. And folks, that's how each and every one of us ought to give. They had a heart that made them willing. And that's the kind of heart God's people need, a willing heart. All right, let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one's looking around, please. Father in heaven, we certainly appreciate the way you provide for the Church the Open Door. We thank you for the faithfulness of our folks to tithe and then to give when they see a need. Father, I have yet to announce a need from this pulpit, but what several folks have stepped up and said, I'll give towards that, and then they do. And Father, we are so thankful for the way you have blessed. And Father, thank you for the way people have in this church have realized the importance of tithing. And I pray that you'll help us to see that great principle. The tithe is the Lord's. It's not ours. Folks aren't tithing to me. They're tithing to the Lord. And so, Father, I pray you'll help us to see the importance of the tithe and of the offering. And I ask you now, Father, to just bless what's been said today. And above all, just give each and every one of us a willing heart. I was thinking about Friday, and as we spent several hours out there passing out food and people pulling up in their vehicles with a big smile, and Father, the blessing that it was for those of us that were there to just give, just take food and give it to folks. And Father, I just thank you so much for the privilege that we had to do that. And I pray that you'll continue now to open doors of opportunity for the church. Thank you for allowing us to pay off that mortgage. And now, Father, help us to be faithful in our giving so that we can further honor and glorify you. So bless, we pray now in Jesus' name, amen.